All right, so the Blue Jays, I guess they're home. I guess. They're in Buffalo tonight, which is technically their home for the next couple of months. It's been a while. They've been on the road for a long time, and they got Miami in town tonight, Ryu on the mound. Here's our Blue Jays insider and reporter, Scott Mitchell. Are you considering this a home game? Like, how do we title this game tonight, Scotty?
I mean, look, man, it's baseball in 2020. I don't know that any of these teams are playing home games, because when you watch the sport, it's just not the same without fans. So, I mean, yeah, look, this is the culmination of 2 long months of trying to figure out where this team was going to go, and it's been a winding road, and I think they're just happy to have a spot they can call home. They can kick their feet up. You know, they've done some work down there. It's still a minor league facility, let's be real here, but, you know, it'll be a little more comfortable, and it's interesting. I've been talking to a bunch of people about who has the home field advantage here, and, you know, I don't think there is one, but when you look at it, what they have to do is they have to win a few ball games there, and then you're going to have other teams coming in, and you're going to have them kind of going out to this makeshift clubhouse behind the right field wall in a tent. And, you know, if the Blue Jays can win some ball games there, I think at some point in the next couple of weeks, you could say, hey, yeah, maybe it is a little home field advantage. But, you know, right now it's just a very unique situation for this team. And, you know, like I said, it's been 2 months of trying to find a home, and they finally got one, and we'll see what they can do with it, I guess.
Scotty, what is your sense of what they think of Buffalo? I like Buffalo. Some people hate on it. It is cold in the wintertime, but what do you think the players' vibe is or mood about being in Buffalo as their home kind of, not that they can go out and do stuff, but what's the vibe about it?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think, you know, Buffalo, Rochester, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, wherever they were going to end up, I mean, I don't think it matters much to them. They were really looking at the facility-wise and what kind of amenities they have, and that's the big difference here. You know, I don't think any of the players or coaching staff cares what city they're in, but, you know, right now, from amenity and you know, from a MLB infrastructure-wise, they're a little bit behind the eight ball, even though they did put a whole bunch of stuff in there and really creatively use a lot of the spaces in terms of the concourse to, put gyms and weight rooms and batting cages and things like that. But, like I said, it's been 2 months of trying to figure out where this team is going to go. And when you go back to June, they were going to be in Dunedin. And then when you go back to late June, they thought they were going to be in Toronto. And then you go to mid-July, and they said no to Toronto. And then you look at Pittsburgh, you look at Baltimore, and then finally they circled back to this. So, hey, you know, like I keep saying, these guys are just happy to have a spot to kind of call home, and we'll see what they can turn it into at this point. Because, right now they're 3 games under .500, and, you know, it's been a decent start. But, this team right now probably should be a team that's over .500. So no matter where they're playing, they've got to clean up some of the stuff that's going on and try to find a way to win some ball games here.
Yeah, with Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter, and it seems like it's a pretty obvious focus at this point. Like, the bats have got to come alive. They are just not generating runs. They're not getting on base. They're relying on solo home runs, and that's just not going to cut it. I mean, I think they're 29th in the league in on-base percentage, and that's just not good enough, and it's not ever going to be good enough. Their pitching has held up fine for the most part. Their bats have got to come alive. And the focal point on this show, and I think with your articles and a lot of people that are following this team, lies with Vladdy Guerrero Jr. And his numbers are truly awful right now. It's early, it is, but it's a 60-game season. You don't get 40 or 50 games to kind of ease into it and make sure everything gets calibrated the proper way. He's got to get going. Do you think maybe being back in a park that he used to own, could that maybe spark something for Vladdy?
Well, I mean, you know, everything you said there is true. I mean, 30th in the league and runs scored at 3 a game. You know, you're not going to win many ball games like that. And, you know, it's kind of, probably a good spot that they're still 5-8 at this point, because they haven't buried themselves. It easily could be a better record, easily could be a worse record if the pitching doesn't keep them in there in a few ball games. But, you know, you said it. I mean, they went out and they tried to fix their pitching in the offseason, and, you know, obviously with Nate Pearson coming up and some of these young kids, Thomas Hatch has absolutely looked unbelievable. Ryan Barucki as well. There's some pitching depth, but yeah, you need to score runs. And Guerrero, we talked to Ross Atkins about him today, and, you know, there's some definite concern within the organization at this point. Again, it's a very, very small sample size, and as we know, baseball is all about sample sizes. But when you look at the nuts and bolts of his swing right now, he's hitting way too many ground balls. Same problem as last year. He's not elevating the ball. But this year, he's really being a little bit more aggressive than we've ever seen before, kind of swinging at pitches that, you know, are kind of out of his comfort zone and not being able to find a comfort zone within an at-bat to find a pitch to drive. So, you know, this guy's got a lot of learning to do, it's clear. And, you know, it's interesting going back to a year plus ago and, you know, this guy looked like a guy who would come in and look like a Ronald Acuna, a guy who could hit 320 right off the hop and really kind of be a guy in the middle of the order that's a threat right away. And that just hasn't happened. And it's interesting when you look at how the dynamic of this offense could come together because, you know, Bo Bichette's had a pretty good start. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. has flashes. But if you don't have Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in terms of being a top prospect in baseball and being a guy that can really be the meat of that order, kind of the linchpin and kind of drive in, you know, a lot of those runs because there's a lot of table setters on this team and you need somebody to drive them in. And, you know, it's going to be really interesting to watch him work through these next 35 games to see what he can come up with because right now there's definite concern in the organization about where he's going to go and what this bat is going to look like down the road.
Well, you mentioned Acuna Jr., and I think Anthopoulos and company down in Atlanta, they pulled off one of the all-time great steals in getting him on that contract that could be a 10-year deal, and it's not going to pay a lot of money, relatively speaking. And they offered it to him. Obviously, they were taking a bit of a gamble. He was a kid, but he had an unbelievable year last year. I think they're confident now that this guy is going to be a rock star in the majors. And I remember asking, I think it was Ross and Mark, and I think you and I have talked about this before, Scotty, could the Jays look to do something similar with Vladdy? Do you think they would do that today? If Vladdy came to them and said, I'll take the exact same deal Acuna took, do you think they would offer it to him?
That's a great question. I would have to think at this point. You know, you'd think long and hard about it, but now he's a first baseman. You've seen, you know, kind of the conditioning issues kind of crop up a couple times now. You know, that's a real interesting one because, as you know, Vladdy's a 21-year-old kid right now. His body does not exactly look like you want a 21-year-old kid to look early in his career. He's already DHing quite a bit. He's moved to first base. You know, the swing really hasn't found the plane in terms of launch angle and in terms of tapping into all that raw power. So, you know, I don't know. That's a tough one. I'm not a big fan of those deals in some instances. Like, I really think Bo should be a guy you should look at. I think you can look at Nate, but with the volatility of pitchers and injuries and things like that, it's tough. And, you know, I think going year to year and trying to figure out what these kids are for the next couple of years is probably the prudent move. But as we know, Mark Shapiro, he kind of, you know, helped these deals along in the early 2000s with the Cleveland Indians. And I've asked him numerous times about, you know, whether they would look at these types of deals, and they tend to happen in spring training. And, you know, he hasn't been shy about the fact that, you know, they have talked about him and, you know, how serious that is, who knows. But, you know, at this point, you know, I think this 60-game season really gives them a good idea of what these kids are going to be heading into what we hope is going to be a full 2021 season. And then I wouldn't be surprised if you hear some more talk about those deals probably next spring training, especially if things are back to normal.
Let's discuss the manager here, Charlie Montoyo, who is, you know, he's an optimistic guy. He's kind of a public cheerleader about the group, and I think that's what they liked about his disposition. They knew they were going to be young. They knew they weren't going to win a lot of games. They wanted someone bilingual that could come in here and calm down the clubhouse and make sure everything is all good while they get through a bit of a storm.
They're this close.
Yeah, and I'm, yeah. Listen, I publicly he's saying things. I hope privately he's not actually sitting there giddy thinking that this team is on the verge of breaking out because they don't appear to be. But today he's got Joe Ponick DHing tonight. Like Ponick's numbers are off the charts horrendous. He's a utility player. He's never DHed in his career. He's been in the league for almost 10 years. What is Montoyo doing here? Like, why would he think this is gonna spark what he apparently is telling us is something that is on the verge of breaking out?
Well, you know, 167 having a DH, you know, with zero extra base hits on the season, hitting eighth. You know, I guess that is a serious problem when you think about it.
Yeah, I would say so.
No, and that kind of typifies the offense, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, when Charlie Montoyo was hired, he was not their first choice. He was not their second choice. He was not their third choice. That's not to say he's the wrong choice, but a lot of people looked at the situation as, is this guy a placeholder as this kind of developmental You know, engine keeps chugging along. And then when this team is ready to compete, is there someone else, you know, calling the shots back there? And you know, I think this first 13 games has probably given us an indication that that may be the case. You know, there may be, this may be a ball club over the next couple of years that, you know, shows flashes and then really needs to kind of make that managerial change in order to take the next step. You know, we don't know that at this point, but it is an interesting dynamic with Montoyo at the helm, because he is positive. You know, he's ran into a lot of kind of bullpen management things over the first couple of weeks of the season. And, you know, I think some of the scrutiny has been surprising to them. And this is the shift that they've made over this last few months of going from a team that's, you know, strictly rebuilding to one that's trying to get over the hump and get to that point where you're looked at as a, maybe not a serious contender, but at least a team that is going to be, to push to be in contention. And I think a lot of the scrutiny over, you know, this last 3 weeks or so compared to what he dealt with in his first year and a half as a manager is completely different. And, you know, I think there are some warning signs that say, you know what, maybe this ball club needs to look at where they're at. And, you know, in terms of what is happening on the bench and, you know, how these managerial moves are affecting, you know, the final outcome of games, because you can make the argument that they've lost three or four games at this point just based on the moves they're making. So, mm-hmm. You know, I think it's going to be interesting to see over this next kind of year or so how he settles in and really the reaction of the front office when this season comes to an end, because, you know, nobody's got to the point where Charlie Montoyo has needed a vote of confidence. But I think when we're sitting here on September 27th, unless they do something amazing in the next 6 weeks, you're probably going to need to have that answer. And you're going to ask Ross Atkins, you know, is Charlie Montoyo the right guy for you guys moving forward? And I think it's a completely fair question at this point.
Yep. I'm with you on that. Great stuff, Scotty. Enjoy it tonight. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
All right, cheers, fellas. Take care.
Scott Mitchell, a Jays reporter. And this is another example of how crazy this year is, and it still is early. There's still, you know, 40-plus games, give or take, for every team.
It goes by real fast, Brian.
It does. I mean, Detroit's 9-5. The Tigers are 9-5. The Orioles are 7-7. Like, those two teams were expected to be absolutely horrendous.
Yeah, Detroit and, especially, right?
Awful. Horrendously awful. And again, they still might get there. They may win another five games total the rest of the way. Like, the light may go on and it's like, what are we doing here? But that makes it, I think, tougher for maybe Blue Jay fans to accept that this wasn't an opportunity for you to run off something here, right? Like, there's an opportunity here with expanded playoffs in a shortened year. Go out and get it, you know, sneak in. Because if Detroit sneaks in, or Baltimore, and I'm not willing to put money on that right now, but if they're hovering, you certainly should be, you know, based on talent. You got more talent. You're a deeper team. Yeah. But we've recognized that a lot this week, that doesn't guarantee you anything.